Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Listening to U.S. media, you would think the rest of the world has gone away, slipped into the distant annals of human history. The media is obsessed with presidential politics, Britney Spears' latest trip to the hospital, and the Super Bowl. But believe it or not, the world has not gone away. There is life outside the good old USA. People are still being blown to smithereens in Iraq and the Middle East. In Iraq, two women with Down syndrome were used as suicide bombers. Probably unaware of what they were doing, they had bombs strapped to their bodies as they stood in busy marketplaces in their respective places. The bombs were detonated remotely, and some 75 people were killed and dozens more brutally injured. How low can humans sink in their cruelty toward their fellow humans? Can you think of anything more deplorable and sickening than using mentally challenged women to carry out their heinous, murderous deeds? In Israel, two attackers strapped with explosive belts entered Dimona, home of Israel's secretive nuclear reactor. I don't know what's so secret about it. Everybody knows where it is, apparently. One bomber managed to blow himself up, but the second was injured in the blast, and police shot him to death before he could detonate his device. A 73-year-old Israeli woman was killed. Her husband was critically injured, along with 10 other people. Ironically, this violence is being carried out in the name of doing the work of God. And even more ironically, the two major factions of Islam, Sunni and Shiite, somehow believe they are serving the same God, yet they are killing one another. If our most precious possession, life itself, is not held in sacred trust, how could we ever have peace on earth and goodwill toward men? We are made in the image of God. That is our first and primary identity, and we were born to become children of God and His spiritual family and kingdom. This family and kingdom is open to all races, kindreds, and tongues, all ethnic groups, and it doesn't matter what you currently believe in the religious sense, but there is only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. God is going to make sure that every person who has ever lived has an opportunity to hear that name and to know that they know what they need to do in order to obtain eternal life. If men would only seek God and His plan and purpose for their lives, what a different world this would be. The small-minded pseudo-intellectuals want to blame Christians for the strife in the world. Christians are accused of trying to hasten the day of Armageddon and the day of the Lord. But true Christians are not even remotely involved in stirring up strife between the sons of men. There have been hundreds of suicide bombings and assassinations in recent years. Were any of these carried out by true Christians? I submit that true Christians are not involved in such acts as that. As we shall see later in this program, any Christian, or for that matter, any person who desires the day of the Lord, does not really know what he or she is asking for. It is thought that the two bombers that came into Israel entered Israel from Egypt via the breach in the wall between Gaza and Egypt. Israeli cabinet ministers are going to discuss this week a long-standing proposal to build a barrier along the 150-mile border with Egypt. And the head of the Israeli Parliament Powerful Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee urged Israel to start assassinating the political leaders of the Islamic Hamas group, which rules the Gaza Strip, and not just its military commanders. So we see it's kill them before they kill you. That is the prevailing attitude in the world today. And somehow do we believe that peace is eventually going to come from this? The nation of Israel is beginning to look like a medieval fortress with high walls, guarded by every conceivable military device known to man. Israel's Mossad spy agency estimates Iran will develop a nuclear weapon within 3 years and continue to provide rockets to regional armed groups, groups such as Hamas and Hezbollah. Israel is now surrounded by hostile forces, just as Bible prophecy reveals it will be before the end of this present evil age. Mossad director Meir Dagan, in an intelligence assessment presented to Israel's powerful Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee, stated that Israel would face increased threats on all fronts. The Israelis are divided on how they are going to survive in the midst of such hostile neighbors. The Bush administration, the European Union, Russia, and the UN, called the Quartet, are supporting an independent state for the Palestinians, as if this will axiomatically bring peace. Give them land, give them an independent state, and Israelis and Palestinians will then live in peace and harmony. Does anyone really believe that? True and lasting peace can never be achieved through national boundaries and military fortresses. Peace and goodwill can only be achieved through a change of heart and mind toward your neighbors. The leaders of this present evil age cry peace with their lips, and with their hands they build and buy more weapons. Political influence is based on military and economic strength. Globalization has inextricably linked the economies of the world into an integrated network of interdependence. This means that non-integrating nations, as they're called, such as Iraq, Iran, and North Korea, are subject to military action and economic sanctions if they don't play the game. But all the nations, rich and poor, large and small, are all trying to secure all the armaments possible. The prophet Joel prophesied of this time. In Joel 3 and verse 9, proclaim you this among the nations, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say, I am strong. This is just the opposite of what the UN says that its mission is. At one time, the UN had a statue of a man beating swords into plowshares in the plaza there in New York City, but someone complained that this has too great of biblical overtones on it, so they took it up and put it away. If the peoples of the world would obey two simple commandments that Jesus taught, the world could start beating its swords into plowshares. When Jesus was asked, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Of course, he was asked this, trying to trip him up, trying to trick him. Jesus said unto the one who asked the question, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, that's what the Bible is all about. It's all about loving God and loving your neighbor. And in turn, God is going to give those who repent of their sins and accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in faith, He's going to remove their sins from them as far as the east is from the west. He's going to give them His Spirit, and they will become begotten sons and daughters of the living God. And upon the resurrection, they will be born into the family of God. God has a great plan for humanity. This plan was planned out way before the foundation of this world. But human beings don't like to look at the whole. They want to look at little individual parts. But here we see that the whole ball of wax, as they say, hinges on these two commandments. But the world refuses to accept the simplicity that is in the teachings of Christ. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has openly stated on numerous occasions that Israel is to be wiped off the map, and as if he is going to make sure that it happens. In a speech last November, Ahmadinejad is quoted as saying, quote, "Our revolution's main mission is to pave the way for the appearance of the 12th Iman, the Mahdi. Therefore, Iran should become a powerful, developed, and model Islamic society. Today, we should define our economic, cultural, and political policies based on the policy of the Iman Mahdi's return. We should avoid copying the West's policies and systems. The 12th Iman is supposed to bring justice and peace by establishing Islam as the world religion." How does that factor into Ahmadinejad's vision for Iran and for his own purpose in the future of the Middle East and of the world? Does he truly see his religion as the path to justice and peace? Or does he seek to convert the world to Islam amidst flame and fire? The Imam is supposed to appear in a time in which the world is in a state of chaos and confusion. Ahmadinejad apparently thinks he can hasten the return of the Imam by bringing the world to a state of chaos and confusion. So he believes he is on a God-ordained mission to hasten the Imam's return. Anyone who desires the day of the Lord does not remotely know what they're talking about, or they have absolutely no regard for human life. We are to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But that does not mean that you do evil, that good may come. So what are the prerequisites for preparing for the day of the Lord? The prophet Amos addresses this very question in Amos chapter 5. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we will continue to explore the question, what are the prerequisites for preparing for the day of the Lord? If you would really like to understand what is going on in our world today, then you need to call for our free booklet, Are We Living in the Last Days? This booklet will help you understand the events that will lead up to the time of the Great Tribulation, the Day of the Lord, and the return of Jesus Christ. All you have to do to receive our free literature is call our toll-free number. That number is 1-888-886-5614. And you also need to understand why you were born. Some of the ministers of the day just say that all you have to do is to say that you have faith in Jesus and you will be saved. If you really understood what faith really means, perhaps that is true. Faith is inextricably linked to obedience. Faith without works is dead, according to the Bible. So, the Bible also teaches us that we must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, if you want to really understand why you were born, then you need to call for our free booklet, What is Your Destiny? This booklet tells you why you were born and how you can get on the road to eternal life and become a glorious, radiant spirit being in the kingdom of God upon the resurrection. So all you have to do, once again, to receive the free literature is to call the toll-free number. The toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. That's 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. So what are the prerequisites for preparing for the day of the Lord? The prophet Amos addresses this very question. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Yes, if you want God to be gracious to you, then you have to seek Him. You have to begin to fall on your knees in heartfelt repentance and let Him know that you are determined to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, how many people are willing to do that in today's world? And once again, once you hear what the truth is, you are responsible for the truth. Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord says thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentations to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through you, says the Eternal. God is not going to turn a blind eye forever for what is going on in this world today. With people blowing up one another, hating their neighbor, family members killing their families, and all the various evils that we see today, God is not going to let that go on forever. He is eventually going to call all the world into judgment, and He's going to plead with all flesh. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord, to what end is it for you? See, you can desire, in a sense, the day of the Lord by tempting God to say, oh, if there's really a God, why doesn't He stop this or that or the other? But the day of the Lord has to do with that period of time in which God directly intervenes in the affairs of humankind. Now, He's intervened at various times through the ages. One of the most notable interventions, of course, was the destruction of the world and all the people therein except eight during the time of Noah and what we call Noah's flood. God at times does intervene, but He is going to intervene in a grand cataclysmic climatic way at the end of this present evil age and bring the nations into judgment. So He says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Are you prepared for the day of the Lord? Or do you say in your heart, my Lord delays His coming. Oh, we're just in one of those cycles. Most people go their merry way as if all things continue as from the beginning. The Apostle Peter warned us of this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, that in the last days scoffers shall mock and say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as from the beginning. The easiest form of escape from the reality of today's world is to close your eyes and minds, bury your head in the sand, and deny the critical nature of the times we're facing. Whether Christ returns in your lifetime or not, the time for you to prepare to meet your God is now. This life is very short, as I'm sure that most of you are discovering. We hear the financial advisors and economic prognosticators making all kinds of recommendations for economic survival in the days that lie ahead. They urge you to diversify your assets, invest in real wealth such as silver and gold. But will this save you in the day of the Lord? Let's note from the Scriptures what men will do during the day of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12, For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Eternal alone shall be exalted in that day. Of course, one of the main reasons why God is going to intervene in the affairs of man is so that human beings will come to know who God really is, that He is who He says He is. In spite of what the pseudo-intellectuals say today, there is a God. He goes on to say, the prophet does, the idols shall utterly be abolished. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and in the caves of the earth for fear of the Eternal and for the glory of His majesty when He arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver, his idols of gold, which they each one made for himself to worship, but cast them to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks, into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Eternal, and for the glory of His majesty, when He arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease you from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? You cannot trust any man to deliver you. The only thing that will deliver you right now is the God of all creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and His Son, Jesus Christ, who sits on His right hand, making intercessions for us. The book of Revelation describes in greater detail the events that will unfold during the day of the Lord. In Revelation 6 and verse 12, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." Just as Amos said in chapter 5, that it is a day of darkness and gloominess. Who would desire it? "And the stars of heaven fall unto the earth." Of course, there's symbolism involved in the stars of heaven falling unto the earth. "The powers of the heavens are going to be shaken, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains." Just as the prophet Isaiah talked about in Isaiah chapter 2 that we read earlier. "And he said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." You remember in Isaiah it said that they were trying to hide for fear of the Eternal and for the glory of His majesty when He arises to shake terribly the earth. And Revelation says, "And hide us from the face of Him that shines on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand?" Will you be able to stand during the day of the Lord? Do you know that there is no biblical record of anyone repenting after the day of the Lord begins? In Revelation 9, verse 20, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." Yes, it's going to continue just like it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man at the end of this present evil age, that they're going to be marrying, giving in marriage. They're going to be partying and living it up. It's going to be like Super Bowl Sunday. Every day. Do you know that if you don't develop a love affair with the truth and seek God while He may be found, that He, God, will send you grand delusion so that you will be deceived by the great deception that lies ahead. Is this shocking? Is it shocking that God will send strong delusion to those who don't love the truth? Note what the clear, inspired Word of God says. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. This is the one who sits in the temple of God saying that he is God and deceiving the world with signs and wonders, being possessed by Satan the devil. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. And the great lie that will be told at this time is the pseudo-Messiah, the one that is sitting in the temple saying that he is God, that this is the true God when it is the imposter. It is the pseudo-Messiah, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. It is fearful to even read this that says, he shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. Here is the heart and frame of mind that God is looking for in you and I. For all these things hath my hand made, and all these things have been, says the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Do you tremble at the word of God? Do you respect the word of God? Do you read the word of God? Are you going to be like so many in the world today, just go your merry way, and occasionally you might offer a prayer when you're in trouble? Or occasionally you might discuss something that has of a religious nature. If a neighbor mentions something about religion or world affairs or what's going on, somehow, though, you believe apparently in the back of your mind that some way, somehow, that after you die, you're going to live again. Don't leave the most important decisions of your life to chance. See, there really is no chance. There is no chance apart from God and Christ. If you want to live forever, that's the only way you're going to live forever. That is through receiving the Spirit of God and living as God says to live in His holy word. And then upon the resurrection, you will be changed into an immortal, radiant, glorious spirit being in the family of God. So nations of the world, they need to heed, and they need to take heed right now. Now is the time for all peoples everywhere to seek God. Seek God while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Prepare to meet your God.